Excellent. And recording has just started. Welcome, everybody, to the January 2019 quarterly literature committee call. Let's begin with the serenity prayer, and either version is fine. I would use the ACA version. God,
pray for
the serenity.
To accept the people
I cannot change.
Courage to change the one I can.
The one I can. And the wisdom to know.
To know
that one is man. Okay, so welcome all. I notice I'm hearing some noises in the background. So can people see that your phone is muted or you're doing star six, and then just pop out of mute if it's your turn to speak. I would like to begin with guest introductions, and I would say if your name starts with like A to G, let's start with folks who fall in that category, and then we'll move through the alphabet. First names.
Hi, this is Bonnie in Boston.
Oh, hi, buddy. Welcome.
Christine, Connecticut.
Hi, Christine.
David, Miami.
David, welcome.
Carol, California.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Britt, Denmark.
Hi, Britt. Anybody else?
Dre in Maine.
I'm sorry, who?
Dre in Maine.
Can you spell your name for me, please?
D-R-E.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Amy in Florida.
I'm sorry, was that me?
Jeannie Topher in Florida.
Oh, Jeannie. Sorry, I don't know if I would miss that. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay. So why don't we move? Have we missed anybody
Jim
else?
In Brooklyn?
All right. Okay, just keep on going. I'll shut up. Okay, next.
Miles in Belleville, Ontario, Canada.
All right.
Are we at the next section of the alphabet?
Yeah, they moved to the next Mary... section. Of the
okay. Okay, this is Mary Jo from the board and from Illinois.
Okay.
Illinois.
This is Lewis. Florida.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Thanks.
This is Barb from New Haven, Connecticut.
Hi, Barb.
Hey, Barb.
Karen from Illinois.
Karen, welcome. Glad you're on.
Matt from Wisconsin.
Matt and Justine, I heard. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep, okay. Matt.
Okay. Is there anybody else who has not introduced themselves yet?
Hello, my name is Alexandra.
I'm sorry, I missed the last one. I apologize.
Hello, my name is Alexandra.
Alexandra. What country are you from, Alexandra?
I am from Sweden.
Welcome. Very happy to hear you all.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a pretty good turnout. I'm gonna go through the roster so far. Charlie, I'm the chair of the literature committee. Bonnie M. from Boston. Christine from Connecticut, David from Florida, Carol, California, Mybrit from Denmark, Dree from Maine, Jeannie from Florida, Jim from Brooklyn, Miles from Canada, Mary Jo from Illinois, Lewis from Florida, Barb from Connecticut, Karen from Illinois, Matt from Wisconsin, Justine from New Jersey, and Alexandra from Sweden. Is there anybody else on the call who should introduce themselves?
This is Robin from Texas.
All right. Welcome, Robin. Okay. What we're going to probably will do a little bit of improvising on the agenda I sent out to get some new developments first, and then we'll work back to some routine reporting second. There's a couple of projects I would like, which are 4 and 5 on the agenda that I sent out, that I'd like to start off by talking about just so we can and 6. I'm gonna do some order flipping here. But I'd like to start off with the ACA Bill of Rights. I won't have any. I just want to announce that we're forming a development team. But basically, the project I'd like to catch people up on and do a little bit of additional initial discussion, and then see if there's anybody who would like to be part of the initial development team. I was first introduced to this in Toronto. I mean, I think we've all seen different Bill of Rights documents over the years, but I'd always been struck that ACA had not had an official kind of like, here's kind of almost human rights people can expect to, that they might have had trouble internalizing because of our upbringing. And when I was up in Toronto, one of the local fellowship members there said a number of meetings up in Toronto used a document which I think had 25 rights as actually the basis of meetings. And there was a meeting at the World Convention up there that was based on a Bill of Rights document, which I attended. I liked. We talked afterwards, and we've begun sort of loosely discussing it up through October, the last quarterly call in October. And there has been a strong sense that this would be of value within the ACA. Since then, there is actually a ballot measure from a group in Brooklyn, I believe. It is in Brooklyn, correct, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, that has submitted to the ABC a motion that we approve a specific Bill of Rights document. And because we were already in the process of beginning a development team, and I generally feel there's a value anytime we're developing something new to have it begin with a broader range of fellowship input, that we were already moving in the direction of creating it when this ballot measure came in. And we've communicated this to the New York folks. We have very openly said, regardless of what happens with the ballot measure, we would like you to be a part of this development process. So we've begun that communication with them. But what I would like to do are a couple of things. And, Jim, can you give an update on where the Brooklyn group is with their ballot measure?
Well, in Brooklyn, and I was at a meeting last night. They had their business meeting. The group that made the proposal. And basically, they decided they wanted to keep stick with the proposal process and keep the proposal submitted. It was not really based on the document, Bill of Rights that they submitted. It's not about that. There were two main reasons. They wanted to have a broader recognition of the Bill of Rights because the ballots will be going out around the globe, and there may be members or groups that are unfamiliar with the Bill of Rights, so it would kind of bring that document to the forefront. And additionally, they felt that as a group, to see their proposal in print and being, you know, it just cements their membership in a larger organization, regardless of whether it's voted up or down. They felt that had a certain validity or a seal of participation. Mm-hmm. So That was the outcome.
Yeah, which is totally great from my perspective. I would like sometime in February to have, not on the first Saturday of the month, I would like to have a first discussion, and I want to have it far enough in advance so that anybody from the Brooklyn group who wants to take part in this will have ample time to align schedules and be able to join it. For just an initial discussion, I would envision, I'll entertain discussion. This is a bad idea, but I think the first two calls we had talking about it, really people felt that adult children, it's actually a valuable thing to remind them that they have basic rights in their relationships, and just even very simple things like, you know, we have the right to say no, or we have the right to change our mind after saying yes. Those are very simple things that sometimes are elusive to us. But basically what I'd like to do is schedule a first discussion call in February where participants can look at the New York proposal, which I think is almost, it may even be the identical document I was shown in Toronto. It has basically 25 elements to it, and look at it from the perspective of is anything repetitive, is anything missing, and just sort of like, if we start from the premise that a Bill of Rights is a good thing, begin to have a discussion as to what from the existing models we think is good, how it might be modified. It's a long document in the sense that 25 rights may be a lot of rights. But it's not a long document in the sense that we're rewriting a chapter or something. So I'm actually hopeful that a relatively few meetings can begin help shaping our thinking as to what would we think is a right Bill of Rights if we were starting it, you know, afresh, or just, you know, sort of working with ideas and examples, but deciding what ultimately we think is the right document to submit, you know, to an upcoming ABC. And so I want to just open it to discussion if people have any thoughts about this. And then secondly, if anybody has any interest in taking part in this. Now, the agenda I sent out earlier this week has some links to some other bills of rights floating around out there. So some examples to look at. And then I can also make sure I have the New York version on the General Literature channel after this call today. So first thing, any thoughts on the process, and then is there anybody who's interested in being part of this development discussion? And now is your time to turn off the mute button.
Dre, may I be heard?
Okay, go ahead, Dre.
Thank you. I have, since last March 20th, moderated a roundtable meeting on the Bill of Rights, three sets, which we dubbed the Ottawa Bill of Rights, the Toronto Bill of Rights, and then the Patience and Persistence Bill of Rights. They were adapted from Charles Whitfield's. There were 36 there. We tried to keep the guidelines on page 612 about using non-program literature. Oh, I'm nervous. Sorry. I would really love to be a part of the upcoming thing. That's pretty much why I am here today. Thank you. And people have responded unbelievably. I mean, in just remarkably powerful, powerful meetings. We've been doing two bills of rights, two at a time, from each set, and it's been amazing. Thank you. So my name's Dre in Maine, and I would like to be a part of the. I would like to attend in February and see what I could contribute.
Bree, one question. Are you on Slack?
That's been an ongoing hesitation of mine. I'm not. Right. And I'm not so, I keep dancing around that one. Thanks, Tuff.
Okay. Can I ask you to make sure that we have your email contact then?
Yeah, sure.
Because we will,
and I do have a copy of today's agenda. Vonnie sent it to me, and that's how I actually. She's okay. So I probably don't know if I should have said that. Oh, yeah. Do you want my email address right now, or should I just? Wait,
I'm
going to
give an
end?
Address that everybody can take down. I'll give you, you. Two addresses, but the main one is literature@acawso.org. And then as a backup,
literature.
Just simply because I'm the literature@acawso.org.
Got it.
And then just because I'm neurotic, a backup would be Robin, our literature staffer's address, lit staff. Robin, is that at adultchildren.org?
Yes, it's lit, LITSTAFF at adultchildren.org.
Yeah. Because it sounds like you'd be a wonderful member of this, Dre, and I just want to make sure that you're in our communication channel to keep you informed.
Thank you. Is Robin's name spelled with Y for when I address
Robin,
I address them in email?
If you can give it on the phone or just send it to those two email addresses. Any other comments or volunteers?
This is Bonnie, and I just want to say I think it's a great initiative, and I'm hesitant to volunteer, but I may show up. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. Understood.
Charlie, this is Christine in Connecticut, and I'm happy to volunteer. I think it's a really important project.
Right. Thanks so much, Christine.
My name is Alexandra, and I would like to try to volunteer.
Okay. And Alexandra, the same question. Are you in Slack, or do we have your email address?
You have my email address. I'm not in any ACA Slack.
Okay. Can I ask you to do the same thing, email your address to those two addresses I gave a minute ago, literature@acawso.org, and then litstaff@adultchildren.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, last call for now on volunteers or comments, but certainly feel free. I'll communicate this out to everybody as broadly as we can as it gets closer, but if there's anybody else who would like to specifically cite their interest right now, that would really be great.
Hi, this is Jim in Brooklyn, and I am inspired by this conversation. I like the sort of measured quality of this project in that it has a beginning and an end. And so you can count me in as participating. Additionally, we could save a space for a colleague of mine. Her name is Ingrid.
Yeah.
And she was behind the proposal. And Dawn might not be able to, but I think someone from that group will be able to participate as well.
Okay. Well, Jim, one thing that would be great is as we communicate out, you know, because I'm hoping to be in touch with both Ingrid and Dawn. I'll copy you in on the next note. As we start looking for a call time, as we start formalizing that, please feel free to circulate this to anybody who's had any interest in this.
Terrific. I will.
Okay. So, listen, thank you very much. I am personally excited by this myself. I grew up always in virtually any group I was in, I always felt like a lesser tier citizen. And even in the one meeting I participated in Toronto, I too shared there was a sense of power, you know, of people being able to look at things that had been historic deficits in their lives. and just this statement, you have a right for better, and in some very specific way. So I'm also excited about this. I will be following up offline this week to begin scheduling a first, development conversation call. I'd like to have at least a couple before we have to send reports, finalized reports in March for the ABC. So thank you very much, everybody, for your interest and your comments. I would like to briefly bring in Karen, item number 6, to talk about the Comline Predatory Behavior Edition, where you stand, and if you need any kind of help.
Thank you, Charlie. We have assembled a great number of member shares on a range of topics, from a general reflection on why we as ACAs are so vulnerable to this type of behavior, to specific experiences of members sort of experiencing predatory behavior and witnessing predatory behavior in meetings that they go to, as well as sort of different approaches, different responses from meeting officers and meetings as a whole when predatory behavior was reported, including also a share from someone who identifies as a predator, at least sort of formerly in his life. So we've been able to gather a broad range of shares already, and now the challenge that we're facing, and we'll be meeting with the Comline team about next week, is how to weld all this into a readable and comprehensible Comline issue, which we're hoping to get at in February.
One question I have, just as I'm listening to you, Karen, will there be sort of, this is obviously, again, what we're talking about is there's a working group on addressing predatory behavior, and Karen is the chair of that group. This really grew out of the last ABCAWC, or was slightly before, people wanting better ranges of ways of dealing with predatory behavior in meetings. The question I have, this is going to be an unusual issue that's, I think, tentatively scheduled for mid-February. Do you have, are you thinking about having some introductory article just to explain to people what this edition is and sort of how it's structured and what you're trying to get out of it?
Yes, we are working on sort of creating, actually what we're trying to do is to create a framework for presentation of the member shares that will also offer some of the, at least a reference to the tools that we have already been able to develop in the working group, sort of with a link to the places where they're published on the website, as well as one thing that we're trying to come up with is sort of at the end, after presenting the shares, offering some tools for reflection, some questions for further discussion that people can take with them after reading the shares and sort of take with them into their meetings and into further discussion among the fellowship.
That's great. Does anybody have any questions for Karen or comments?
Yeah, this is Miles. Are we going to eventually turn that the predatory information into a trifold?
Karen, do you want to take the lead and talk about some of the thoughts about long-term literature needs here?
We have some ideas for long-term literature plans, and I think a trifold is definitely among them. I think that will take some more collaboration with the literature team to figure out the language and just get the process going. Charlie, is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I'm just thinking a few of the ideas have been kicked around. One is like a safety card, sort of a quick thing that can be read at the beginning of meetings, trifold. And another issue, very long term. Trifold and a safety card are much, much quicker. Long term, there's discussion going on as to whether there's two distinct passages in the Big Red Book that deal with predatory behavior, whether revisions of those should be considered. But again, we all know that redoing the Red Book is the biggest and longest term of all our projects. So I think the safety card, the trifold, are the two more immediate ones that can be of immediate help to people, as well as the webpage itself. You guys have a webpage on the repository, correct?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so those, I think, are the three biggest avenues. Yes, hi, Carol.
You're not going to put something in the little big red book about this?
Oh. Well, yes, Carol, I'm quite sure we will. I'm laughing because I feel stupid. Yeah, we already had talked about that as something. The little big red book is something we are going to have sort of the beginnings of this year. I'm hoping to do at least a conceptual proposal on this in Sweden and finish our writing this year. It's essentially a 101 version of ACA to help people in their first and second years coming into the meeting. And yes, absolutely, meeting safety and addressing predatory behavior will be folded into that. I mean, because I think really, realistically, newcomers, I believe, are at heightened risk of not only being preyed on, whether it's for sex, money, or whatever, but also it's far more likely to have a devastating and permanent impact that if it happens to somebody in their first 4 weeks, yeah, in an ACA meeting, they may never come back to ACA. So I think it's a very appropriate piece of Little Big Red Book.
Jerry,
any other comments?
Question?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Karen, do you need any more article submissions from members by any chance before the deadline passed? And also, do you have contact information? Thanks.
Thank you for bringing that up. Was it Dre?
Yes.
Thank you, Dre. I actually wanted to mention one more thing regarding the deadline. Our official deadline for contributions was December 15th, and as I've expressed to the Comline team, probably we have a lot of material already, and probably our challenge will be how to weave all of it together to get the best presentation of the topic, and we may have to do some skillful editing there. But we also, just in this January, in this week's January Comline, have extended you might call it a limited extension of the deadline. If anybody has a burning desire at this point to send us a share, we would like them to do that and see if there's more pressing material, interesting material, helpful material that we can use for the edition, and the deadline has been extended to the end of January. But that's sort of more of a, from our perspective, I would like to treat that as a burning desire kind of deadline at this point.
Thank you. How would one get a hold of you? I really keep the tiny bead on the scale goes whether I'm terrified to even think that mine would be an interesting contribution. Let me ask you, how would people get a hold of you?
The email address to send a share to is apb@acawso.org.
One more time on that. ACB at...
APB.
Okay.
At acawso.org.
Got it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hello, this is Jim.
Okay.
I have a suggestion or comment and also a question. So this is a special edition of the Comline, I take it?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I wonder if that can be sort of pronounced in the layout of this edition, so that there might be other special editions in the future on different topics, which could fall into a certain look or a certain style.
This is Mary Jo. Somebody in the background is clearing their throat or something. If people could mute. Sorry.
Jim, let me. I'm going to pass that one on to Robin R., who is on this call, to think that one through in the next month, because she will be doing the final layout.
Yeah, I'm just suggesting that you keep in mind that there could be special editions for, say, sponsorship or committee work, or and to have a sort of stylized look might captures people's attention. And then my question is, is bullying a considered a predatory behavior, or is that something else?
Good question.
Oh, it's definitely predatory behavior.
I would consider predatory behavior.
I'm going through this in my local meeting right now, and I have been finding myself asking the exact same question. It's not predatory in the sense of I'm necessarily going after people covertly with a special agenda, but absolutely it's an abusive behavior that kind of has that same impact on the meeting. And Karen, what are your thoughts on this? Is this a question you guys have considered?
It's not sort of specific. Examples of bullying behavior are not anything that have been brought to us or that we've considered in our discussion so far. We've been more specifically looking at these exploitative behaviors, trying to take advantage of somebody's vulnerability as a newcomer for meeting sort of for the gratification of personal, emotional, sexual, financial, and other needs. And I'm wondering whether bullying, and I mean, the line is fine, right, between what we are looking at and what would be covered under meeting safety. I think bullying would definitely be a disruptive behavior and something that needs to be addressed under the bigger umbrella of meeting safety. I think we would have to have a closer look at specific examples. I would like to, if I'm considering a behavior, I would like to hear a specific experience describing it to help sort of figure out whether it goes along the lines of what we've been looking at in the predatory behavior working group, or whether it might be a broader case of meeting safety.
So what I'm hearing is that no one has brought up this topic so far.
Not within the context of our work in the predatory behavior working group, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I have a quick question for Mary Jo on this topic. Mary Jo, in Toronto, you led a session on meeting safety. Was bullying a part of your discussion? Or do you know if this has come up anywhere?
I'm not recalling that came up specifically, that we talked about it at any great length. But it does feel definitely like it's a meeting safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so that does bring up the fact that beyond the addressing predatory behavior issues, that safety maybe needs to be addressed in literature a little bit more too. So and include bullying there, because and I do agree with you, Charlie, that it does have a similar impact in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to people staying with a meeting even. So I think it does need to be added somewhere, and maybe this is saying that we need to institutionalize more stuff about safety. So
safety, yeah. I feel like the hole that got identified here, and I happen to be, Karen has since moved, but we were both from the D.C. area when this arose. It just became clear that when a predator started operating, and I'll move to the bullying in a moment, we just did not have good defenses that we could offer people. And the Big Red Book does not offer good defenses that, that people can exercise. And I think it's also true, and I had this impression when Mary Jo was running her workshop in Toronto, that we don't have good tools for creating a safe environment. And, of course, because of how we all grew up, if we can't protect a safe environment in an ACA meeting, it's almost like reliving our childhood rather than finding something new and healthier. Jim, I'm going to suggest this. Because the predatory behavior team is so far along for this particular edition of the Comline, I think you may already be on to something, that this may be a model for us to be looking at other fellowship issues. And what I'm going to suggest is we put meeting safety on the next quarterly discussion agenda and begin just looking at what might that look like, you know, in terms of what literature needs. It seems very similar to what got the predatory behavior process going. But I think rather than trying to weave bullying in for this particular edition, begin a process where that'll be part of the very next round of consideration. Would that work for you as a response?
I would ask maybe considering one other thing.
Sure.
Is there presently any kind of like helpline or way for if someone were feeling they were in this situation, is there some place within our organization for them to turn? And could that just be a little blurb or box or something, a little text box in the edition? Like if you find yourself in this situation, you can write to whomever. Or do we do that, or are we just quite wondering?
Well, this is Karen. I think what you're talking about is sort of immediate recourse for somebody in need of support in a situation where they feel like they're being attacked or taken advantage of, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so one thing that has already started is that groups are starting to develop safety statements sort of on the group conscience level, on the meeting level, and identifying people in the meeting that are willing to take on to be open to questions and discussions about member behavior, as well as there's sort of a down-the-road project of creating a safety statement that is approved by WSO that could be sort of shared with meetings as a resource. And another thing that that's sort of currently in the works is basically having small business card size cards that meetings can hand out, that safety representatives at meetings can hand out with their personal contact information, as well as with the information about how to reach the Predatory Behavior Working Group by email or with a link to the website for more information about this. And that, I think, can certainly be included in the Comline issue.
Excellent.
This is Carol.
Hi. Yeah.
There's something that gets left out of things like this, and that mm-hmm. is when an individual meeting comes up with a card or information like this, it needs to be shared. And if they have an intergroup in their area, they need to contact them and let them know what they're doing so that this can be shared among all the other meetings in the area. If you don't have intergroup, then you have the region, you know. So, yes.
Yeah. We have created on the APB section of the website, there's a page that serves as a repository for group safety statements. There's a number of examples posted there already that have been decided by group conscience on the meeting level and have been shared with us for publication with the fellowship, so they're posted on the website.
Yeah, that's great, except a lot of individual meetings are very isolated and they do not get on the website. They do not go out anywhere except their own meetings.
Sure.
And so if they get the Comline, it would be good to have information in there that they, you know, to share it with their local area, with the, at least.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
This is Laura.
Hi.
Could I make a request?
Yeah.
Has the APB put out a blurb in the Traveler that, like, if you have a group or an intergroup or a region that has a safety statement or a placard, could you send it in to us? Because when we did that request for archives, we got a few emails from the membership. So that helped us. Would that help collect this information for you or not?
We've used the Traveler as a way of collecting shares for the Comline, and that's been very effective. We've also used the Traveler as a way of advertising our safety statements. I think there was an announcement just in the January Traveler about it as well. I have not seen any responses to that come in terms of additional safety statements being published. But it was, I'll grant, it was not a specific request to submit them. It was just information about here's examples and take a look. Here's a link to the website.
Okay.
I need to wrap this up purely for time. One thing based on these discussions, Karen, as you put together your copy for the edition, you might consider some section, if you don't have it already, on how you might help or things you can do that would sort of incorporate some of the discussion we've been having the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And including where you can go for, you know, other safety cars and that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
And can I just...
Sorry.
Before we wrap up, Charlie, I would just like to express to Jim, I know Charlie is putting the question of bullying on the agenda for the next quarterly literature call, but if you want to share a specific experience with us for consideration under predatory behavior, just email it to apb@acawso.org. I would love to hear more about the specific situation that you might be referring to.
And this is Mary
All
Jo.
Right,
there's
thank
also
you.
An open there's also an open channel called Addressing Meeting Safety. If anybody wants to post
okay.
anything on there, it hasn't been an active group on there, but we could start to have stuff on there too.
That's great.
Charlie, this is Bonnie. I just have a quick question. There's a couple
sure.
ideas that came up based on what Jim shared that I wanted
mm-hmm.
to offer. Would it be best
sure.
to do that in what form, like the Slack channel or?
30-second introduction on this call, and then going to the literature general or literature open discussion, I believe it's called.
Okay.
Go ahead and add it there.
Okay. Are you saying I could take 30 seconds now?
You have 30 seconds of quality time. You can tell.
Okay. I was just going to say, one, I love the idea of the special edition, or even like a column that's like the loving parent column or sponsorship columns. Just because we need all of that. And then the second thing is I'm a facilitator for a paid deal, but we offer voluntary helpline that people can sign up. They get trained to offer. I mean, that seems like that'd be a wonderful thing for us to have people trained to do. They put up their own time. And then people could call in. It could be in the Traveler. And there could be a reporting protocol for these kind of issues.
Very interesting.
That's it.
I suspect that Carol would very much need to take the lead in that kind of discussion, but as head of member services. But I think these are actually all some really interesting additional ideas. So I'm happy that the conversation has expanded this way. So I am going to move on to the next topic. If anybody has anything additional you want to say about this, let me go get the exact... correct.
Alexandra.
Alexandra, hold on one second, please. There's a channel called lit_open_discussion. So if people have additional ideas on this, please go ahead and just send them there. Alexandra, if you could speak very briefly, because we will need to move on to another topic.
If you could just please repeat where these already group safety statements can be found at this ATB page section where it's found. Thank you.
Okay. Karen, can you take the lead on that?
I can post the link. I can post the link on the Lit Open discussion channel. Would that be helpful?
I think that's more helpful, actually.
Could you please? Where do I find that place?
Are you in Slack, Alexandra?
No. Okay, it's Slack. Okay, I can leave that for later.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I can read our section on the World Service Organization website is acawso.org/category/APB.
Thank you.
And there you will find a number of links to materials that have been developed, and the first one is the examples of group safety statements. And I will post the link to the safety statements in the Slack channel as well for anybody who has access to that.
Thank you.
This is Margaret here.
Yeah, hi, Margaret.
Can I just take 2 minutes? 2 seconds? I'm just going to speak Swedish, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Tjena, Alexandra.
Yes.
Jag heter Maj-Britt. Jag bor i Danmark och jag är på Slack. Om du skulle kunna ge mig din e-mailadress så kan jag bjuda in dig på Slack.
Ja. Should I give my email address now?
No, Why don't you go ahead?
Okej. Okay. Alexa, A-L-E-X-A, jungle, in one word, G-U-N-G-L-E at Gmail.
Jättebra, jag skriver till dig direkt och bjuder in dig.
Tack. Thank you.
Oh, I have some language learning to do between now and April. Okay, so we're going to continue to 12:45 today, Eastern U.S. time, which is 25 minutes from now. I'd like to, this is more just an opening of a discussion. I don't expect any action today. But Miles from Canada attended an event involving secular AA, and it opened a discussion as to whether just what we might want to think about ways of communicating our program to people who are really simply have a difficulty with any form of higher power. Miles, do you want to just give an overview of what you experienced and any thoughts you had coming from that?
This is Miles. Most of the members that I talked to at the secular conference in Toronto were dead set against the word God, anything to do with God. But for some reason, they seem to be working a damn good program because they have something that's believable in their own life. And with all the controversy that's been coming about it in the last, 5 years in AA, I think we might get a jump on it now because I know it's going to be a problem with us. I already know it is.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like a well-organized disorganization, but it was well-run. It was very smooth. No bickering. It was a well-organized disorganized function.
Miles, can I ask you to tell a little bit about how they deal? Like, how do they deal with the 12 steps? There's a lot of God references in that. How has this group been working with even core issues like that?
I don't have their 12 steps in front of me, but what they did was they took the word God out and they put higher power or something that you believe in, or so just rewrote the steps in such a form that it's still meant the same, but the words were changed. God was out of there. That's about it.
Okay.
Charlie?
Yeah.
This is Justine. There's a group called AA Agnostica, and they put out, they have a, God, I don't even know how frequently, let's just say weekly, emails, and they have published some books. There is a slim volume that has, I want to say, 20 or more different versions of the 12 steps. And there's a book called Beyond Belief that speaks to really how to work a good program as an agnostic.
Yeah.
They've done some, and I know that they have had some issues where they've been threatened to be taken off meeting lists, you know, world meeting lists and things like that, and there's been a lot of controversy. But they've done a lot of good stuff, and they have published a lot of read-worthy material, which I own and keep available to members of my home group.
Yeah, just a minute. Just trying to find the book. The Grapevine, Grapevine Incorporated just made a released a Grapevine book on the secular AA, and it seems to be quite informative, and there's a lot of good suggestions in it.
David?
When I find the name of it, I'll post it on the channel.
Okay, Brett, thanks. David?
You'll find at the International AA Convention, which happens every 5 years, one of the larger meetings that's not the main speaker in front of 50,000 people is the Atheists and Agnostics. It's been getting stronger and stronger every year. Sometimes they replace God with good. But it's really, there's actually a very interesting story of Bill Wilson, of an atheist doctor he met and stayed with, that he came to realize that the guy was as spiritual or more spiritual than he was without having to have a religion to hang his hat on. So I think that Miles is right, that this is coming. We need to get in front of it instead of getting dragged along behind it. Thank you.
I'd like to throw out a question for people. We actually have a chapter in the Big Red Book on spirituality that I think pretty clearly says you don't have to believe in God and that kind of thing. But from people's perspective, has anybody themselves either struggled with a higher power issue, known other people who struggle with a higher power issue? And generally, do we feel what we have is inclusive enough for people who have issues with religion, the word God?
This is Carol.
Hey, Carol.
We have lost people from our meetings, in my experience here, just because of the fact that they don't want to have to stand there looking stupid when everybody else is praying, because they don't believe in praying, or, you know, that kind of thing. Plus, I do have a daughter who is an atheist, and she absolutely, that's the only reason she's not coming to the program. She tried one meeting, and it just doesn't work for her. So I have talked to her about this, and she, I think, would actually go to a secular ACA meeting if we had them. And I'm sure that a lot of the Buddhists that don't come would come to the meetings. So that's just, I think this is something we need to do. Thank you.
This is Mary Jo. I find that, you know, a couple of my meetings read the Red Book from cover to cover, or at least most of it. And when we get to, I can't place it right now, but at least one of the chapters, or maybe it's one of the steps, when there's so much mention of the word God rather than higher power that I personally feel it every time when we read that. When I share, I start out by thing that I remind myself that we are a program that's open to everybody, no matter what your belief system is. So that if, and I do that when we have a newcomer, because I mean, I think that that chapter, the way it's written, especially, feels very religious. So, just want to point that out. Okay. Thank you.
Alexandra.
Okay, one at a time. I think Alexandra first, and then whoever was next.
Yeah, this is something I have.
By the way, can everybody mute?
Somebody mute who's hammering?
It might be an internet call. If you could lower your volume to something else.
Just mute yourself.
Somebody on the dashboard?
Okay, yeah.
I'll try again, sorry.
Yeah, this is something that has been brought up for me in my time in the program, and I've spent many hours on this issue. And it was the way that I was led to the program by a person in another program that has worked the steps and that's not religious, and that I've also read. And when I read the red book, I remember a chapter, you can be atheist, you can have whatever belief you want to, you know, it's a spiritual program, it's not a religious program. And where I am now, I'm trying to formulate in the meetings I go to, a more inclusion for people who don't, whatever, a more inclusive wording of this, our step that I think is the most inclusive we have. The way it's worded, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves. There is a very different feel in that than if you come to believe in a power higher or God. Even though now my journey after 30 years, I used the word God, but that was a journey even before the program where I could not just use that word because of how that word has in many parts of the world been misused and is misused also to include, because it's also so important to reach out to newcomers. And I'm so thankful for the words of the person that led me to ACA that said, like, in the beginning, if you have problem with the word God, which I didn't have then, but it was just so reassuring to hear, because, of course, my view of what a higher power or a greater power is has developed tremendously in ACA and through working the steps, that the meeting itself is a power greater than me. So anybody could, like, use a power greater than themselves and just if they wanted to see the meeting as such a power. And I think that's also said in our book. So that's something I am myself very engaged in as my part of the service of giving back, and to also make it easier than a little easier than it was for me to feel welcome and more included, and with all the connotations of higher and lower and God. And yeah, I have some texts I'm working on this in this area. Thank you.
That is helpful to know. Who is the next person who's starting to speak at the same time as Alexandra?
This is
Greg.
Greg,
both of us.
So Greg first, then
okay.
Mike.
This is Greg in Texas, and it's really interesting. This came up at this point, and we were just done talking about predatory behavior. We just had in our AA meeting this morning had a discussion that included spiritual predation, and I think that's what's, you know, I'm not a Christian, and I have adapted to use higher power or whatever, but I don't like the word God because of the implications to it. But one of the things that I'm more concerned about than use of the word God is that there be any sort of implied message that our God is better than your God, though we are willing to accept that you might believe in something else. And that to me, I think, is the biggest stumbling block. And I guess I'll shut up now. Thanks.
Okay, Miles?
Yeah, and then that I was just going to, what I was going to say would be backing up what Greg said. I know when I first came into the program, I struggled and struggled and struggled and actually was going to leave the AA program because I was told I had to believe in this God, and I don't have no love for this God, Bible God. And an old-timer told me, use good orderly direction. So, okay, that's what I used for a while until I think I was 12 or 13 years in the program before I finally got a higher power that I could understand and I could accept. And now putting that together in the ACA program and the AA program, I work a good program 99% of the time. But I don't sit there saying you have to have God, you have to have God, you have to have God. I mean, I make sure my sponsees know that it's what they understand and what they can believe in, not what the program is telling them to believe in. And they seem to understand it, and it seems to work.
Okay. Well, normally I would take longer on this, but I'll just say what I'm kind of discerning from this conversation. It sounds to me like everybody feels this is a pretty fertile area to start exploring, you know, not just let sit on the shelf for another 5 years. I don't immediately, instantly know what to do with it. A couple of things I would like to suggest. If anybody has any resources or links to resources that are will help us get our heads more around what we can do in practical terms,
Charlie,
put them on the lit open discussion channel. Yes.
Charlie, this is Jeannie Toper.
Hi, Jeannie. Sure.
May I just make a comment on this? My faith is the most important thing to me in the world. I have kind of a throat thing going on right now, but I certainly understand the concept of inclusion and not losing people because of the term God. But I just want to say that when we move forward with this, I kind of hope that we don't start implementing any kind of control where people aren't welcome to say what they want to say at meetings, kind of. You know, like we had a guy read a prayer one time and everybody's like, "Sheesh, should we stop him?" And we're like, "No, we don't." Do you know what I'm saying? Kind of. I just hope that we can, within this conversation, that we're still able to be ACA, where people get to speak what's true for them. But I sure do understand the importance of not losing people because we're, you know, strict on that kind of faith base. I hope I explained myself well. Thanks for hearing me.
Yeah, I think exceptionally well, because I think the issue which people have really identified is no matter how much language you can put here and put there, people will be coming into a meeting. They'll see steps right away that are referring to God. They're going to leave. The ones who might leave will likely leave well before you can spend time explaining all the different other aspects of that. So I think inclusiveness is, and lowering barriers are just one huge issue here. The other one which I'd like us to talk about as we move forward on this is kind of what do you encourage people to hold on to? Because I'll just say from my own experience, I was not, I did not believe in God when I first came into recovery. I've comfortably gotten there over the years. But what I mainly know is more than whether it's God or whether it's a meeting and the energy that comes through a meeting, what's most important to me is I don't live in the belief that my intellect is the highest power in the universe, that there is something else I need to tap into for me to do recovery as I've done recovery. So I'd like to also see that get preserved. What I'm going to suggest is this. We'll clearly continue on with some structured discussion and exploration of this, because I think even right now today, it's clear that this is a hurdle to keep some people out of recovery. And secondly, I appreciate the point that Miles and David both stated, which is it's something which is forcing its way to the more to the forefront in other fellowships, and that's going to shape expectations of what we are and what we aren't doing. So what I'd like to do is talk offline. I'll probably maybe continue this discussion in the Slack channel, but one way or the other, I will add this to our agenda moving forward so we can get some people looking at it more closely and making some recommendations. So with that, we have 7 minutes left before we have to get off this call because we're moving into an afternoon of other calls. So if people don't mind, what I'd like to do is, Miles, thank you very much for that presentation. This has, I think, been very, very helpful. And it's not a topic we've addressed up until now. I'd like to just quickly go through the rest of other items on the agenda very kind of bulletin board fashion so that we can address them. One is Marty, I don't believe, is on today's call. She's the editor of ComLine. The next edition does not happen until April 1st, which means the deadline is March 1st. One thing I would point out or put out for people on this call, I would really encourage people to be looking and listening for those invitations that come out pretty regularly. I believe the organizing theme of the April edition is largely around 4, 5, and 6, steps, traditions, promises. But I have done a number of these, sometimes honestly because they were desperately lacking copy in the last week or two before the deadline, so they weren't as likely to say no to me. And I've actually found it to be a great experience. And so I would just encourage people, if you know, to be on the lookout for those and just give some thought as to what you can say, and particularly because we have at least two people from Europe on today's call. There is actually a great hunger for people to write articles actually in their own language. So in Alexander, your case, Swedish, Mybrit, in your case, Danish, and then we do a translated version of that also. So I just wanted to put in plant the seed that people be more actively thinking about volunteering your own experience, strength, hope, and perspective on recovery issues. I found it to be a really great experience. Secondly, we're not going to get to it today, but I know more from the member services side, there has been discussion of the need for a group inventory document. I'd like us to begin looking before the next meeting to begin thinking about how we might start tackling that issue. I don't think, again, it would be a long document. It's sort of a trifold. But I'd like us to begin thinking, not unlike the Bill of Rights, is there some way we can put our various fellowship heads together and think about what groups need to do an inventory. That might also be a way of helping with things like meeting safety and predatory behavior, because it would certainly be part of an inventory. This is purely sort of a heads up that the notice will go out sometime in coming weeks. We have an evaluation group that has been meeting off and on, and we're reforming it. Really, this is a very critical piece of our ability to process not only suggestions from the fellowship, but to make sure our own internally generated documents are doing what they're intended to do. So it's a lot of reading and then group conscience discussing does this project work or not. We are still thinking through the details of how we want to structure at this time, and especially to make sure it stays sustainable and meets monthly. But I would say everybody on this call would be well qualified to be a part of that. So be on the lookout. We will send out invitations. But I really would strongly invite anybody who's got time to be a part of that process to step forward. Again, I've been a part of this in the past. It is an incredibly rich experience to have people just earnestly looking at a piece of literature and trying to figure out how it meets the needs of the fellowship or how it might need to be changed to meet the needs of the fellowship. And it's actually been one of my best experiences with WSO. So really, thank you all for being on the call side, but I really appreciate and encourage you to consider that form of volunteer service as we make announcements on it. And then lastly, just a couple of updates. Little Big Red Book is moving forward. We hope to have about a half dozen chapters mapped out and written by the time we present on Literature Committee progress in Sweden, but it's making good progress. Bonnie, can you take the 45 seconds to talk a little bit about the Loving Parent Handbook and where you stand with that?
Okay, sure, yeah. Basically, we are now at the writing stage, so we have completed the outline that we'd like to do. We're waiting to get feedback from the evaluation committee, but we're starting to move forward on the chapters that we're definitely sure need to be in there. And the team is putting together literature. They're putting together proposals for each chapter where we draw from the existing literature, we say what's missing, and then people propose what they would see going in the chapters to support it. So, yeah, we're moving along.
Okay, great. Fabulous. And, Mybert, do you want to catch people up a little bit on upcoming progress of translation projects?
Sure. I wasn't really expecting this. You caught me off guard. Yeah, we talked about this. We changed our EC channel call today into a translation community call, the first of its kind, and we hope to support the translation teams throughout Europe by providing a forum where people who have translated their material can get the new translation team started and ask answer questions that they might have, instead of this just being a project that me and our secretary and finance person is doing, because it takes up time. But there are a huge amount of translations in the pipeline right now. And I foresee that after the event in April, everybody will want to have their books printed. They are moving very rapidly into, and right now we've got four projects, four yellow workbooks in the pipelines, and moving steady. I have talked with the Polish people and Hungarians, and this week, actually 3 days ago, the Slovakians signed up as well, and they pretty much have their manuscripts done and are ready to hand them in. So it's going to be a big year, 2019. And that leads to a big literature process that we're developing in, within the structure of the WSO to get better board oversight, but I'm pretty sure that you will all know more about this when the board has finished processing that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're at the very end. Mary Jo, anything you want to say just as chair, just a sort of an overview comment before we wrap up today?
Just that there's just so many great efforts going on here and new ones coming up, and it's challenging to keep this all manageable, but at the same time, that, you know, it's like if you look at this list, all the things that we need or want to do, it's like, well, what could you cut? Nothing. It all has to be done. So it's just a matter of prioritizing, and I want to commend everybody who's interested in participating, already participating in these groups. So thank you, and thank you, Charlie.
Thank you. Now, again, before we get – thank you so much, Mary Jo. Before we get off today, again, if you don't – if you aren't part of Slack but you think you might want to be, make a note of that when you send an email with your email address to us. If your email is not in the system, I think Dore might fall into that category, please, again, send your information to literature@acawso.org, and then as a backup, litstaff@adultchildren.org. It's especially important right now because we're forming some new groups that you be on our communication channel so that we can, you know, you can be aware of things as they come together. So with that, it's our time to wrap up. I want to thank everybody for what's really felt like a really really a highlight call for me because we've covered a lot of ground and had some really good discussion. So we'll close with the Serenity Prayer, again, whichever version you want to use, the traditional or the ACA version. I'm going to give just a few seconds of silence, and then we'll do the I will do the ACA version.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the people I care about, the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know what to do.
Okay, thanks so much. I think there are a few on the call will be joining us on other calls starting soon, but thanks very much, and our next quarterly call is the first Saturday in April. I think it's the 5th, but I could be wrong. It might be the 6th. So thanks again, and talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Bye.
Bye.